On August 21st, 2017, at 5:30 a.m. in the morning, I started climbing a mountain. Together with six other Dominicans, I was trying to reach the top of Coffin Mountain, which is in Oregon. It was about 1 mile from the trailhead where we parked to the top, and about 1,000 feet of elevation gain. So not the biggest mountain, but still, it took us about 2 hours to get to the top, stopping along the way. And as we hiked, the sun began to rise. And when we reached the top, we had a beautiful view of the surrounding Oregon forested hills. It was well worth the effort to get there. But on this particular day, we were hoping to see a little bit more. On August 21st, 2017, there was to be a total eclipse of the sun. In my life, I had seen a few partial eclipses where only part of the sun is covered by the moon, and it looks like someone has taken a bite out of the sun. But I had never seen a total eclipse where the whole sun is blotted out, casting a shadow, darkening the land, and revealing the sun's corona, which is a kind of halo or crown around the sun that is normally not visible because of the bright light from the sun itself, but when the moon comes in front of it, it blocks the sun and you can see the halo, this corona, this crown around the sun. As the moon moved slowly, ever more slowly in front of the sun, and the sun became this very thin crescent, darkness fell quickly upon the mountain, although the horizon far away remained bright. And for a minute and a half, I was thoroughly amazed. I was absolutely gobsmacked. I was just totally in awe at what I was seeing. Here, the heavens were literally aligned, and I could see the great splendor and beauty of the world that God had made. That minute and a half was far too short. I wanted to spend much longer just staring up at the sky, looking at that black circle where the sun was supposed to be and seeing the strange view. But it was soon over, and I had to go back down the mountain. In fact, I went down the mountain, got into my car, and came here to Benicia to begin my time with you. So I can empathize with St. Peter and St. James and St. John, who also climbed a mountain and then experienced a powerful display of light. I can understand why St. Peter wanted to build tents for Jesus and Moses and Elijah so that they could stay on the mountain longer and preserve that vision of Jesus' glory. But if Jesus and Peter and James and John had remained on the mountain, if they had built those tents, where would the church be today? Jesus would not have died upon the cross. Peter would not have been the rock on which the church was built. In fact, if we look at the Gospel of Luke, we hear what it was that Jesus, Moses, and Elijah were conversing about. And they were talking about how Jesus' coming passion and death would be the fulfillment of prophecy. And right before this, in fact, Jesus has made his own prophecy. And he said to his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and die." And the disciples didn't quite get it. And even Peter went to Jesus and rebuked him, saying, "Jesus, cut the crazy stuff. Don't talk like that. People are getting freaked out." But when God speaks from the cloud and says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him," he's saying that we need to come down from the mountain. Listen to Jesus when he predicts not only his future glory and resurrection, but also his passion, also that there is suffering along the way. We can't stay on the mountain forever. In today's first reading, we have another story of people ascending a mountain. Abraham must have had heavy feet as he walked up the mountain of Moriah, because he knew at the top, if he wanted to be faithful to what God had told him, he would need to sacrifice his only son, the son that God had given him to be the heir, the fulfillment of the promise that he would have many descendants. But Abraham was willing, and he passed the test that proved that Abraham was devoted to God and faithful. And on another mountain, on Mount Calvary, the mountain where Jesus died, we see a similar scene in which God the Father is willing to sacrifice his only begotten son, Jesus, out of a proof and devotion and show that God loves and is faithful to us, his children. In our lives, there are many mountains and many challenges that we face. Caring for children can seem like climbing a never-ending mountain that's full of new obstacles and difficulties to be overcome. Sickness, disability, injury, particularly mental illness, can seem like a constant battle, a struggle to put one foot in front of the other to make it to the goal. Graduating from school or finding a job can be a huge task that can greatly challenge us. And in the face of all of this, we have the spiritual mountains that we face, our own Mount Moriah, our own Mount Tabor, the Mount of the Transfiguration. Like Abraham, our faith leads us to make tough choices out of love for God, tough choices like giving up sin that we've become attached to, loving our neighbor as our very self, and the challenge of repenting and returning to God when we have separated ourselves from his love. But like Peter also, our faith in Jesus can lead us to follow him and to see his glory revealed in unexpected ways. Parents sometimes see the growth in their children of genuine love and care for others. Maybe in a moment of prayer, the Lord lifts us up and lets us know and experience the consolation of his loving embrace. Or perhaps a wounded relationship, a relationship in your life that's been wounded for a long time, begins to heal through the courage of forgiveness. And here is where a different challenge lies. God wants to shower us with his love and with his gifts. But we can easily become fixed on one of those gifts, one of those good things, and by clinging on to it, not be able to receive the other greater gifts that God is ready to give to us. God is always offering more. And here I envision sitting down at a meal. I once had a meal with some sisters, Dominican sisters in Mexico, and they were constantly at the meal trying to offer us more food. And they're like, "Mas, mas, mas." And I'm like, "No, I'm stuffed. I can't eat it anymore." And they're, "Oh, mas, mas." They're always wanting to give more. And God is like that, always wanting to offer more. Today is a good day to consider our spiritual lives afresh. God calls all of us to be great saints. And if God is for us, who can be against us? But sometimes we can say to God, "I think I've come far enough. This is just fine. I'll stop here. This is a good spot on the side of the mountain." Today, God's voice speaks to you from the cloud. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. Listen to my son. Listen closely to Jesus. Listen closely in prayer. Listen closely in the scriptures. Listen closely to Jesus in those that we encounter today. And hear the great love that God has for us and how he calls you to an even closer embrace. St. Peter was dumbstruck at the glory of Jesus and wanted to build some tents to stay on that mountain forever. But he had to come back down, just like I had to come back down from that mountain in Oregon. But you know what? The Latin word for tent, what Peter wanted to build, is tabernaculum, tabernacle. And so we can do here what St. Peter could not do on that mountain. Here we have a tabernacle, Jesus' tent, his presence among us, his glory in our midst. And we can sit in this church by Jesus in his tent as long as we want, enjoying the glory of his presence and savoring that little foretaste of heaven. And so I would invite you today to spend a few quiet moments here in the church after Mass, together with Jesus in his tent. For a few moments, leave behind the worries of the day, the conversations you want to have, the activities you want to do, and just be here on the mountain with Jesus. And like Peter, James, and John, ask yourself what rising from the dead means.